They had a sisterhood Sabbath a few months ago, and Minnie happened to be up amongst the women that were the mother and daughters or whatever. And she, when she made said the prayer, the Baruch in Hebrew, they were surprised. How does it come? They didn't think that she would even know Hebrew, but she did. Remember, Mr. Balter came over. He says, "You must." Minnie, he says, or the other two, they were all so nice, you know, everybody compliments you. I guess in our congregation, when you read Hebrew, you're a, well, I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so all the three girls went to Cheder?
Yeah. Oh, yes, the three girls and Mary, mm-hmm. They all went to Cheder. Whether they, Minnie's the one that retained more of it because she was, and Sarah can read a little bit, but they don't practice it. I mean, they should, but they don't.
Were there any significant differences between the way you raised the children here in the United States and the way you were raised in Europe?
Well, it would be a difference in this respect. Life is so different in this country, even was when I came, than it was in Europe. In Europe, you knew on Friday afternoon, and there were those fast days. I only fast now. I used to fast them all, even as a child, only on Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. I still don't ride on Yom Kippur. Uncle Harry wasn't this. He was a, what should I tell you about Uncle Harry? The new feeling came on, you know, the Haskalah. And he was a very learned man, and of course you always find groups who are the same, and you, and so maybe he wasn't as, in the beginning when we start to go together, as religious. I had a religious streak in me that I can't change today, even as I was as a youngster. But him, so when we were married, I still had to be married a few weeks before Pesach. I still had, everything was Pesach. Everything was kosher and adhered to all the dietary laws. And we had decided before that I wasn't to tell him anything, whatever he wants to do, and he wasn't to tell me anything when it came to our life together, because he knew I was very religious. The fact he would, maybe today you'd call it a fanatic, but I don't think that it was. I eventually lived, and I strictly kosher home. I repeated it so many times. So when the high holidays came around, I didn't think that Uncle Harry would even go. And here he comes back, but I'll never forget it. We lived on Trent Street that first year, and here he comes back with tickets that he bought in the Russian shul on, must have been Miller Street. I think there was such a thing as Miller Street. And
with that meal?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And because we were the first or second Jewish family living on Trent Street, 38 Trent Street. And do you know that from then on, there was never a time that we didn't, a holiday came around. There was never any arguments. There was never any saying, don't do this, you do that. And we understood each other in this respect. And when we come into Butler, that was his life as well as mine. I mean, maybe he wasn't as strict as I would have been in certain things, but he was, to him, the congregation and the anything that was going on in town was just.
What about with the children? Do you think that did you observe as strictly as it had been observed in Europe, and did it affect the children?
Well, the children, I wouldn't really know how it affected them because they are not. They don't keep. I don't think they keep.
Well,
kosher.
I mean,
they don't keep
time.
Kosher homes.
No.
Now, I know they may not keep.
But in those days, I mean, about missing school or each holiday and observing
the holidays,
they all went.
No, we didn't force it onto them. No.
The way you had had it in Europe.
Well, it couldn't be like in Europe,
no.
Honey. It's impossible because life is so different from the first minute you step into America than it was. Maybe now we are more religious than Europeans are.
Do you recall any difficulties raising the children that were due to the fact that you were an immigrant?
No.
Never recall any instances of the school or anything? No.
They were always accepted. The fact is that most of their friends were just as many Gentiles. Can I tell you of an incident? Yeah. Minnie had a friend. I'm speaking of Minnie because Florence Van Krogh. And they used to be together a lot. But the children didn't go out. They didn't, when it came to a dance or something, they didn't go with that. I guess Minnie probably had it. It was understood that you hold your own. You can be friends with them, but you don't have to marry each other. Have dates and dates, you know, what dates bring on, you can, there's an excuse, you fall in love, and then they go, but they never have. So Mrs. Van Krogh called, she used to call up Minnie. She and Florence were very close. Florence would come to our house, as well as Minnie would go to the Van Krogh's. Mrs. Van Krogh would call up, do you think Minnie can, and Mrs. Spiro, would you mind if Minnie stays with us for dinner? I have chicken, let us say, she says, and we didn't use no lard. She used butter. But Minnie did stay, and of course, not that narrow, we were never. Mm-hmm. They never. So that was the friendship. And Mildred with Virginia Wampler, they were inseparable. And that's the way they were with, and when Uncle Harry passed away, a friend of Sarah's, that she went to school with, a little girl. She lives in Mount Lebanon, too. Her husband is an attorney. Called to see whether that was the Spiros, that she and Sarah were such friends.
Yeah.
So that's the... And, of course, as far as Jewish people were friends, there was no one that weren't friends.
And everyone was more or less in the same boat.
I guess. Most of them.
Most had come were immigrants, too?
No. Most of the people that... some have come over. Yeah. I mean, in Butler. We have a very nice family there by the name of Barons. Mrs. Barent is there. She is turned about 90 now. And you must know them, one of the Barons. They're a nice family. And she'd never forgotten our store, that's in the beginning, was right across from the Pennsylvania Depot. And she came in from Europe with three children. And they, family, she had brothers in Butler, they had stores in Medora, that they came and they waited in our store for. She had never forgotten this. They must have been disheveled. She says, you know, when you, and they brought their grandmother along from Bialystok. So that's the kind. But they're all Americanized, and the children are just like the world. And I'm not going to say that Butler was the best. We all had the best. We had all kinds of people, like everywhere else. And to say that the Jewish people were the best, no, they were just like anyone else.
How did you acquire your American citizenship?
Uncle Harry became a citizen, that's how we, and the whole family were.
How many, well, we talked about a little bit, it was how many years approximately after you came to this country?
Well, it couldn't have been very, very long. It must have been, you see, if he was called in the army when we were in the First World War, and that was in 1914, is when. So it must have been around that time. I know Mr. Ben Williams was the one that Uncle Harry, he wanted to be a citizen, of course, take us for granted. And he became a citizen, and he was called in the army. But we had three children at that time, and so.
But they still called him into the service?
Yes, but he didn't. He was
exempt because of the children.
In those days.
Do you remember the first election you voted in?
Yes, I think I do. I think, what's his name, Harding. I was visiting with the Horvitz as they had a cottage in Bemis Point. And wasn't it that Harding died?
Harding.
And Coolidge? Was it under Coolidge's when? Well, I voted the first year that the women's vote voted.
Do you remember who you voted for?
How can I do?
Do you remember what party you voted for? a
Republican.
You were a Republican.
Oh, Republican to this day. Now, may I tell you what he didn't know? I want to tell you the kind of people Butler had. Many, we were all Republicans. There was Mr. Troutman. There were some Democrats. Mr. Troutman was an attorney, and Mrs. Troutman. And there was this... they just took her in, just like she was one of the row.
Mm-hmm.
She was among the first day when they decorated our courthouse in Butler. Minnie was the chairman of it. So you can see how they took her in. So to go back to the about how they came. So when she was going to register, Mr. Troutman, Albert Troutman, who was a Democrat, said, Minnie, you better, Butler is a Republican county, you better register Republican. But Uncle Harry and I were already Republicans.
You had always been registered Republican.
Always, yes.
Were you, either one of you active in the party?
Well, with the exception that if there was a parade or the a flag, mm-hmm. raising of a flag, and when... Uncle Harry, when they raised the flag in the Shawn Hospital, General Ganskow was there. He was the head of it, and Uncle Harry was called, as well as mm-hmm. others, and he was there to do it. So,
you mentioned Harding.
And speaking of civic work,
yeah,
whatever was done in mm-hmm. Such as for the hospital and all, we were all in. We even had Jewish teams. I would have a team, and Mrs. William Potts would have 10 to a team, women
mm-hmm.
and men, of course.
Raising the funds.
For our hospital.
You mentioned Harding and Coolidge. What other prominent Americans come to your mind?
Wilson, mm-hmm. who was the first one. Who was his, I'm trying to remember. I remember from the time when Theodore Roosevelt was, when he was vice president and he became president, he was running and then he started the Bull Moose.
No.
That was from a time on that let me tell you something. When Uncle Harry, when we were the first year in Pittsburgh and I was pregnant, they were in the Sun Telegraph office, they used to have announced who won and who, the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think we went downtown to watch the elections? So there must have been something that we loved America.
Yeah. I'm sure of that.
We weren't the only ones.
Now, did they get large crowds of people that were
standing
down
around
and, mm-hmm. and listen for the election
return?
Yeah,
the election. Watch it. They'd write it paper that have regular forms.
I see.
Yeah, how many votes this one got? Not many votes. That's how.
And that was.
You'll get a headache from me.
No. I'm going to change the subject again, though, and ask you a little bit about Negroes. Do you remember the first time you ever saw a colored person?
But you know, God forgive me, I could never tell them apart in the beginning when I first came to America. And in Butler, we just had a few. And that was, I'm speaking of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
In Butler, there was a Mr. Bill Hill, who had a transfer business. You know, he used to transfer.
Furniture and
whatever. He used to move it. He was married to a white woman.
He was Negro.
He was
Negro. Yeah.
And they had one daughter who went to school at the same time as my Sarah did. And and then the others, there was just people by the name of Massey, Mr. Massey, they call him Pink, he was with the Nixon Hotel, I guess he was their doorman and everything. And then there was, we had a few come in. There weren't many at that
just
time.
Just really a handful.
Just a handful. But there was a Mrs. Gilbert who had two nice young boys, and so did Mrs. Massey. And they'd come into our store, and I would fit them. We had that big store on North Main Street. And do you know, that the children were so dear and so nice. When they would go, after when they grew up, they were handsome boys. But they'd go up past the store, maybe they'd look in and say hello, Mrs. Spoon. When they were grown already, I guess they must have been on their way to schools. No, we never had any. But I guess after we left. And then another thing, we always had a foreign girl or an American girl that worked for us.
You didn't have colored people at all?
No.
Working for you either at home or in the store?
No, because there weren't any.
I,
and Mrs. Reeser, who was next door to us, when we lived, she had a colored girl by the name of Bee, and I've never, and I mean, and they treated her beautifully, but I've never, nobody ever came to ask us for any job or something. And there was no want, they all worked. I mean, they worked for hotels. I mean, who they all, the few.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you a little bit.
And now, though,
yeah.
I know that one works with Aunt Sarah. Anne was with for 20-some years.
Right.
And she's like one of the family.
Right.
Her sister Helen, that comes into Sarah's store to the... What he called, she'll always ask how the family is. Then I had, since we're speaking of colored people, when we were at the Diffridge those few years, we were just wonderful to us. And I had a girl, a lady to come in. And do you know, she does, she still works at the Diffridge. I'd have her 2 hours every Friday. Do you know that she gave me, before I moved, she left a note in... Or would I to wish me luck when I move?
Is that the
shoe I'm talking to you and you can see it for yourself? But this is not just the
No, none of it is that. I'm going to ask. I did. No, I'm not. I'm going to ask you about two more questions.
Go ahead, dear. If I can answer it, I'll hope I can.
Well.
I
know the answer
it.
To the question, of course, but I'm going to ask you, but ask it anyway. You had family in Pittsburgh when you came.
Yes.
And there, one was my grandfather, of
yes.
course, who was your brother. Now,
and
did you have any others?
In Pittsburgh,
yeah.
Just Lancelot and friends.
Just friends.
And Lancelot from
yeah.
Europe, too. Some of them that they're still our friends. I mean, we call each other Mrs. And Mrs. Cass, Mrs. Joseph Cass and her children. Maybe you know them. Stalls, Mrs. Ben Stahl, and her son, Fred Cass, has a, what is he, an accountant. He has an accountant.
You were talking about when you were...
And Saxes
yeah.
were our second, our, my parents.
But they were friends.
They were all friends,
friends.
Yes.
They, but they all came from the same...
From the same... The father came up from the same town
and
married here.
Who did you celebrate your Seder with in those days? You know, when you first came over.
Seder, we had... The first Seder we had with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Harry's side.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we came to Butler, we'd have... Whether we'd have a few friends in... Or if not, we'd go to M. Beaver. We never had a Seder as time went on that we didn't have at least.
Mm-hmm.
The smallest Seder we ever, ever had was about 16.
16?
And the highest, in a, between 25 and 35.
And with always friends and
friends
and your own children.
Visitors
then.
And rabbis and
yeah.
the children and their friends. And even here, when we came here, the first year, when we had that big apartment in Forbes, right across,
uh-huh.
5641, we had that whole floor of a doctor in Berlin. We even had then, outside of our children's friends, and of course there were friends, the Schoenfields doctor, Leo and Mrs. Lola Schoenfield were our guests, and some of the children's friends were. And in Butler, we'd have, when the Deschamps Hospital started, we'd have the the young Jewish boys for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Seder. We only had one Seder. We never had two Seder. And then we would go to, like, the Horowitz's. The William Horowitz's were our very dear friends, or Max Jaffe's, mm-hmm. or even if we were one year with, you know, Ivan Novick, you hear of him.
Yeah.
His parents, his father was a Tekan president of the shul, and he had Rabbi Eichholz and a few more, I can't tell you who, and their family, and Uncle Harry and I.
So you always celebrated and always had a large...
Never a small one. Even, and then when we came here after at Minnie's house, Minnie has a and they always have big. This year, the Blumenthals are their friends, poor Mr. Blumenthal, Mr. A. Blumenthal. They were with us on Saturday.
Did you keep up your contacts with your friends and family in Europe when you first came to this country?
Yes. How? You'd write a letter.
Yeah.
And you'd hear from them. But I wasn't a good daughter. I didn't keep on writing like I would like my children to write to me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was just, I don't know, I was never too much for writing. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I've never learned how to spell right. Now, Uncle Harry spelled, really, his spelling was maybe, I wouldn't say better than the children's, but as well as any American college graduate. And I could never spell right. I can write.
Yeah. Now, you left in your, was your father?
Just my father. My stepmother.
But there were
cousins.
No cousins.
Oh, yes, cousins and uncles and aunts. Do you know what I mentioned to you, Chairman? Do you want to hear me?
Yes.
Just a few words. Just to show you that I wasn't just bragging.
Okay.
Honey, if you'll find a lot of things there, repetitions, you'll know.
I want to ask you just one more question. During your first 5 years, what would you say was your main worry?
Just to make a living. We had the children, and they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And in a family, this one gets sick, even though you have wonderful help. And I was in a store, no matter what Uncle Harry did, I was with him. No matter how many help he ever had,
mm-hmm.
and how, and none at all. And, all that I prayed for was that we should be well. The child got sick, and we had very fine doctors, Dr. Heilman, after whom our Mildred, after Dr. Heilman's wife, our Mildred,
mm-hmm.
Alice is named for us, after my grandmother and his wife. Mildred Alice.
But really, mainly, it was money. It was financial.
No. It seems like you got along. No, if the family was well,
mm-hmm.
no, we had no worries because our demands were such, you lived on what you could,
mm-hmm.
not on what you didn't because the Joneses have.
Mm-hmm.
And it was our, it just happened, since you're mentioning this, we had all kinds of friends and nice friends, and we, in a small town, you're friends with everybody. But one particular family were actually a millionaire family because they had the Keystone Pipe and Supply Company. That was the William Horowitz's and the Morris Byrne. And they were the dearest friends. When we lost everything, it didn't make any difference to them. If Mrs. Horowitz, we'd go together wherever to visit, whether at one's house or another, she'd call up and she'd say, Mary, they're going to go. I called so and so that they're going, and I told them you're coming too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of friends they were. And we didn't have, we had just from hand to mouth. The people were nice,
mm-hmm.
like the Max Jaffe's. And Uncle Harry was always respected and liked. And I think the children.
So you felt as long as you had help.
That's all that mattered was help. Uh-huh.
Well, that was.
Because in 1918, Uncle Harry had Stelby lost every cent in the stock market. Well, it affected his health, almost like John Nervous breakdown. And but he had lost so much weight, and then he built him up to come up to 148, 150 pounds. It was just fine. And like all anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was.
Everybody was more or less in the same type of circumstance.
Well, even as big as these people were,
mm-hmm.
probably. Can I tell you something about these forwards? Is they sold stock in the Keystone Pipe and Supply. They have a branch in Wichita, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Wichita Falls, I believe. In Fort Worth, Texas. And even they had many times, and when the stockholders were told, this was told to me by Mrs. William Horwitz, they had a stockholders meeting, and of course, I'll repeat this, Gentile and Jewish people were friendly and good friends. There was a Father Collins who had stock too. I mean, his parish or whatever. They wanted to take off Mr. William Horwitz from being president. Now this, I'm going into a different family, but I just want to tell you how people are nice. And Father, and of course was Mr. William Horwitz's everything, every cent and everything. They always worked for the, they didn't draw anything out. They lived nice, but and was very charitable. So Father Collins said, he'll guarantee, when these people stood up to take a vote, he'll guarantee that as soon as things, that was during the 30s, you know, mm-hmm. during that terrible depression, you probably read about it or heard about it, that a time will come that everyone will get every cent back from the Keystone Pipe and Supply, and they did, and they got their dividends, and they got everything. So you see the relationship
yeah.
between Jew and Gentile were, and that's the kind of